Good morning, everybody. How many of you, raise your hand if this is your first session of the day? You were out on Bourbon Street a little late last night. Go ahead, you can raise your hand. We're not video recording this, so your boss won't see your hands. My name is Steve Nguyen. I'm with Yammer at Microsoft. This is Allison Michaels. I'll let Allison introduce herself in just one second here, but I just want to kick this off and let you guys know that I don't think this is going to be the typical tech ed presentation. We're not going to be talking about zeros and ones. We're not going to be pouring through lines and lines of code. We're not going
to
compile anything. Hopefully that doesn't scare anybody off.
No pilots.
But what we're going to talk about is, as IT professionals, what are some things that you need to know in order to have a successful enterprise social rollout with Yammer? So we'll go ahead and start and let Allison introduce herself, a little bit about where she came from.
Yeah. My name's Allison Michaels. I've been with Yammer for about 2.5 years now, and I actually came from a Yammer customer, First Solar. They're based out of Toledo, Ohio, and also Phoenix, Arizona. And kind of a little bit about my story, and we'll get into it. I actually kind of brought Yammer to First Solar, and needless to say, it didn't go so well. And I've learned a lot since then, and definitely have gone through the trenches from that experience, kind of rolling it out to a large manufacturing organization. And it maybe some of you, I know some of you in the room have said, oh my goodness, Yammer's taken off a bit too quick. That's exactly kind of what had happened about 2.5 years ago when we were rolling out SAP at the same time. So it was kind of this whole wham bam, thank you ma'am type thing that had happened. So anyways, and I run the education services at Yammer. So me and my team, we run around all across the world to help educate not only IT professionals like yourselves, but really focus on executives and helping them understand what social means and how for an executive to be social. Because a lot of times, as you probably know, is the execs don't usually get to where they are today by being open, social, and transparent. And that's a lot of what we want them to be on a social network like Yammer.
And I'm Steve Nguyen, so I'm Customer Success Manager at Yammer. And so what that essentially means is, after you decide to purchase Yammer, myself or other people on my team, we work with you to help you better understand a lot of the change management aspects that go into an enterprise deployment. We work very closely with Allison's team to determine some of the training needs, the training plan. But a lot of what we do is really helping you to understand what are the things that need to happen in your organization in order for Yammer to be successful. Part of that is technical, but a lot of that is very much people and change oriented.
And we're Twitter fanatics, so you see our handles up there. Please tweet us. We love Twitter too.
So one of the first things we want to talk about is, how do you, as IT professionals, enable the business for Yammer to be successful? And over the past couple of years, these are some of the things that we, Microsoft, have heard from IT. We can't deploy things fast enough. We want faster and more seamless upgrades. We want to enable our users to do, we want you to enable us as IT professionals to be able to do more with less. And we want to empower our users to be able to be more self-service driven. And so, do these things sound familiar to you guys? Are these things that you're wanting to do in your organizations? Seeing some head nods. And so when we think about Yammer, we help to enable many of those things. You know, Yammer is the quickest time to value. It's, you know, essentially you flip a switch and you're on. We operate under a freemium model, so your users have the ability to try things out. You can understand a little bit about, you know, how Yammer is going to affect your enterprise, how people can start to collaborate. And then we flip the switch, and there are other controls that we can allow from an IT standpoint that give greater, more admin granular controls. But, you know, from that standpoint, you're up and running very quickly. Integrations. We have integrations with single sign-on, Active Directory Sync, SharePoint, obviously, CRM. And then virality. Be very prepared for virality. This is something that this is one of the reasons. If you were in Christoph's session yesterday, virality is one of the main reasons that Microsoft acquired Yammer. One of the reasons that it's so viral is because Yammer is something that's very easy to pick up. It's easy for people to invite. So from that standpoint, users are very accustomed when they come into Yammer. So what are some things that we would tell IT to know about today? Don't be the barrier to the exchange of knowledge and information sharing. Speed of information is moving so much more quickly today. Consumerization of IT, information flowing between your teams happens at a much quicker pace. And IT does not want to be the barrier to that. Don't get stuck behind a firewall. You know, through Yammer being a cloud service, we're able to iterate and improve on the product much more quickly than it can be if it's stuck behind a firewall. Yammer really helps your employees understand the information that is already born within your organization, be able to amplify that much more quickly. And one of the things we'll talk about a little bit later on is how do you control what people say, or how do you think about administering the community itself? And what we like to say is people don't come to work to get fired, right? They come to work because they want to be productive, they feel like they want to be a productive part of your organization. And they don't generally come to work to do harm. And we'll talk a little bit about some like abusive behavior and things like that. And probably the most important thing on here is don't get one executive sponsor, get a dozen. Get as many champions as you can possible, get as much executive leadership and sponsorship as you can. We'll talk about that a little bit more.
So before I go into partner with the business, I will say, if you do have any questions as we're going along, if you want to challenge us or say this is what's happening at our organization, feel free, raise your hand, jump in a mic. This session is also being recorded and will be thrown up, I think they said 24 hours or less. So when we think about, and kind of, you know, leaning on Steve's last point is partner with a business, get a dozen executive sponsors, maybe even more. And I would say they don't even have to be at the executive level. Find those influencers. So as we go to the next slide, I was wondering, within the audience here, how many of you actually have a Yammer network today? Okay. What type of organization are you from? Communications. Who else raised your hand? What about you, sir? What was it?
Media.
Okay, anybody not from media? Yeah. Construction. Chemical. Accounting and finance. Those are the smart ones. Or maybe the chemical. Anybody else? Okay.
Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Insurance. Oh, yeah. Jeff was our famous one from yesterday. He's on our videos. So kind of the point I'm trying to make is Yammer is not one size fit all. It is also not just only for certain technology companies. While we at Yammer, we have a lot of organizations from the technology industry using Yammer, our customers are a wide variety of industry. We've got governments. We've got governments from the European Union. We've got everybody kind of in between. We've got startups, manufacturing, as well as the people within the room. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, what are you waiting for? My guess is if you signed on to Yammer.com today, your company probably has somebody out there already on your Yammer network. And so I would challenge you after this session to go and to sign on to Yammer.com. Remember, it's free. It's a freemium model. So see if there is anybody from your organization. We have over 7 million users worldwide. My guess is at least maybe one person from your organization has already started that conversation, and you should probably get in to see what's happening. So you know, just kind of this slide's got quite a few statistics, and I would also just you know, kind of let you know, if you didn't have a Yammer network, I'd love to see a raise of hands. How many of you are kind of thinking about social within your enterprise or within your IT strategy for this upcoming year? Obviously, hopefully all of you, because you're in this session, right? You're like, yes, Allison, duh, we're here. So I would just challenge you, as you think about this, what are the different pieces and players? When we talk about Yammer, we're talking specifically about enterprise social, but there's so many other tools. I would even say, like, somebody standing up and yelling over a cube, that can also be considered as social, right? Social is not new. We've been doing this social thing since we're in the playground at school. We just have different types of technologies to continue the conversations kind of after and beyond the barriers that we've already set and kind of the buildings that we have. So my next question for you guys is, how many of you have had your budget increased for next year? Oh, wow. Two people, three people. Incredible. However, what we're finding is that technology spending is increasing. So what does that mean? That means, and I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of times your departments of your organization are kind of paying or kind of owning up to the spending of the tools that they want to use. And it goes around this idea of consumerization of IT. The comms department is kind of finding those different tools. The training department says, I need to use this tool to get my job done, versus kind of waiting for somebody to say, here's the tool that you should get done. Did you want to add anything to that? Okay, great. So, and you know, kind of as we think about, and one of the things that, from my experience with the rollout at First Solar when we were thinking about Yammer was, I thought that my CIO actually had a lot of clout within the organization. I was highly wronged by that assumption. I thought that there was actually a seat at the table. That was not the case. In my situation, I actually should have probably had 3 seats at the table. And not because he was a good guy or not because he was a bad guy. It was just the perception of the organization around IT. And so kind of what happened was, because it was kind of led first by IT instead of led by the business, we kind of got off on the wrong start. And I want to say that in a very delicate way. IT, you will find so many uses for Yammer just within your own teams, within your own project management, within your own user adoption of your own tools. But don't let that be the only reason or the only way that you're going to use a social tool. Because if I am a buyer for your organization and I joined Yammer and all I see is IT people talking code and talking about the next, I'm not going to come back because that's not relevant to me. So those types of conversations are great. Make sure you have them in your own kind of IT space within Yammer. So when I'm talking about finding a passionate partner, your IT organization should be the first adopters within a tool like Yammer. But there are other organizations, kind of micro-organizations or departments within your organization that you'd want to go and find and see how you can help them use social. My guess is you're going to have a department who is at the ready, chomping at the bit, probably already using Yammer or another rogue social tool, that it will be very easy to have a quick win with that department. So go and see what departments are kind of at the ready. My guess is if you have sales teams, that's a great use. That's a great team to look for. Learning and development teams. I was just at a learning and development conference a couple of weeks ago doing kind of a presentation there, and somebody came up to me and said, well, we can't use Yammer. IT said no. And I said, what? I said, don't let IT say no. Use what makes your users learn faster, share the information from whatever they're learning in your classroom, your e-learning, and be able to learn from the power of the community. Don't let IT direct what you can and can't do, and keep asking IT, because sometimes, like you, you just might not know who might be using it and for what.
Yeah, and when we generally when we go out and we do these enterprise deployments of Yammer, like Allison said, a lot of times we will go out and we will seek those business areas that have a strong need or have expressed some deficiencies in it from a collaboration standpoint. We have several examples of large grocery retailers that are using Yammer within their stores. They're using them to, take pictures of store displays and be able to share them across stores across the country and across the regions. So they're actually able to share information about what's going on at the store level in a way that they've never really had capability to before. Because if you think about people in a grocery or a restaurant level, they generally don't have access to email or a way to collaborate with the rest of the organization. And by having access to Yammer now, they have a way to connect with people in a much broader way than they ever have been before. So it's, you know, these are some examples that we just want to highlight that are outside of IT that you can start to partner with areas of the business to enable some of these use cases. Distribution lists are also a great place to find some really quick wins. We talk a lot about some of the deficiencies around distribution lists and knowledge being trapped with inside inboxes and the reply all threads, which we have a video to kind of illustrate that later on. But you know, moving distribution lists into groups on Yammer, so discussions within project teams, within departments, can be much more transparent and open across the organization. So look at distribution lists as some easy wins, too.
And, you know, I think this just kind of goes beyond, you know, and just kind of hopefully driving the point home. How many of you have users who are non-PC users or non-desktop users within your organization? So you've got wait staff, you've got construction people. Anybody have non-PC? A couple people. Okay. So this is, and like Steve said, this is probably the first time for a lot of organizations that people, I would say, closest to your customer have a voice back to corporate. And this is kind of scary for a lot of organizations, and we'll kind of talk about what and how to understand and what to do with that. So this is the first time ever that a bagger in Kentucky can say something, and the CEO of Kroger, for example, can like it. And that bagger, his perception of the organization totally changes because of the way that a CEO or some senior leader had and took the time to read a conversation that he might have posted on Yammer. And so I think it's you know, again, it's thinking beyond your desktop, beyond your PC users, but also thinking about the people who are closest to your customer, who are going to have that raw feedback that sometimes gets muddled as it goes all the way up to the top. There was one more point I was going to say about that, but I lost my train of thought. So we'll keep moving. So swimming upstream, making sure your buy-in is actually bought in. So this is something that I think many of us are very familiar to play the political game that we all play in organizations and drop the different cards that we have to play. And you know, one of the things that we really want to stress is a tool like Yammer, as many of our customers can say, is at the end of the day, it's not about technology, it's all about the people. And I think I was in a workshop about 2 or 3 months ago, and I was sitting with an executive staff, and they were all about, you know, kind of what were they going to brand this new portal, and, you know, what were they going to call it, and they were going to call it some, like, connected da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, they were all trying to, and probably about 4 hours in, the COO, he, like, slams down something, and he just looks up, and he goes, it's not about the tool, it's about the people. And I said, yeah, it's always been about the people. And so kind of thinking about it from that perspective, that's why we really wanted to kind of talk more about kind of the people aspect versus the technology. You're very all smart, savvy, super IT professionals. You guys can kind of figure out that technology piece. From a change management, from a culture shift, this is going to have a really big impact. And we're already seeing it in plenty of our culture, plenty of our customers, excuse me.
And so one of the things that we did, my previous company, Cargill, we wanted to kind of prove to our leadership that it really was about the people. And we wanted people to explain for themselves some of the value that they were getting out of a tool like Yammer. So we actually used email in this case and said, all right, you guys have been on Yammer for a while. What we'd like to, we're going to our steering committee to get approval to move forward with Yammer. What we'd like you to do is go out to Yammer, type a couple sentences of the value that you've gotten out of Yammer, and tag it with hashtag value. If you haven't gotten any value, post that too. We want to know that as well. And we got hundreds of responses from people on the value that they were getting out of Yammer. I mean, really compelling stuff too. I mean, people, you know, Cargill's a globally dispersed organization, and we got responses from people saying, I'm located in remote parts of Russia or wherever, and I've never felt more connected to Cargill than I do with Yammer. I mean, that's a pretty powerful statement if you're in HR and you're thinking about employee engagement. So we got all these value statements, and we got into our steering committee approval meeting, and we're getting ready to pitch this. And we're really thinking, we got to sell this thing. You know, we're all prepared to give our pitch. And before we even started in, one of the executives stopped us and said, do we understand the impact to our employees if we shut this thing down? So he was coming at it from a totally different stance of, we have not from the stance of we have to shut this thing down because it's out of control. He had already seen from all the posts that people had posted around the value that they were getting that if we shut this thing down, it's going to be a detriment to our employees. So you know, these are just some other things that you can think about with regards to how you can start to build a catalog of value from your network. So I mentioned earlier that you know, we're going to kind of shift into talking about how to handle some objections that you might hear. And a lot of times when companies come into enterprise social, one of the big concerns is, well, how do we address people posting inappropriate content? How do we monitor, how do we manage
the cat
those
pictures.
Things? Yeah, how do we prevent cat videos from cropping up on our network? And it's a very common question. It's something that you definitely do want to think about. And a lot of times the guidance that we give on this is, please include HR, include legal into your implementation teams. Make sure you have an understanding of what their concerns are so that you can address them. You know, create a workflow that that alleviates some of their concerns in the case that inappropriate content is posted, that you know you have a workflow on how to handle those things. But a lot of times what happens is we come back to companies a year later and we say, have you ever had to implement that process? Have you ever had to take action on those things? And a lot of times the answer is no, or maybe once. And if we did have to do it, it was for some really innocuous situation. So I'm just curious, for those of you that do have Yammer networks, have there been serious circumstances in which you had to take any sort of action? Just raise the hands.
Yeah.
Jeff? Okay. So it's not to say that it can't happen. People are people. They're going to act out in some instances. But and by and large, the instances of which inappropriate behavior occurs is pretty low.
Yeah. And you know, just to kind of mirror onto that, so at Microsoft, we actually have the largest Yammer network in the world. And if you can imagine, when the Yammer acquisition happened, that was probably the quickest time to value, the quickest that a Microsoft or a Yammer network had kind of exploded. And kind of in that time, our Microsoft IT has yet to pull down any post on Yammer. There have been some things that have kind of gotten a little bit unruly, but what happens is the community will show up. If something's inappropriate, the community will say, hey, you should probably not, you know, post that. The other thing is every post is attached to a picture and a name. Nobody can be a bully when their name is attached and their face is attached to this. I was working with Tyco, again, another large organization, and the community manager there, and that's kind of a newer role from an internal perspective, said her biggest asset for kind of dealing with some of these maybe inappropriate content is the phone. She will pick up the phone and just say, hey, do you understand how you're coming across on Yammer? Do you also understand that our CEO foots this bill?
Business practices that refuse to die.
Sorry.
Just making sure I'm not going to fall off this. Woo! That'll be fun on the recording. So she will pick up the phone and just ask and make sure that that person understands kind of the impact and really the megaphone that they might be having within the organization. And usually that person will kind of self-correct their actions versus having some big bad IT or HR person kind of, you know, take down the post and hurry up and take it down. This No Cats videos, this is actually one of our customers is currently doing a campaign for this right now. Not that they had cat videos, a cat video issue, and we are not against cat videos. We have a cat lovers group on our Yammer network. We also have an off-topic but rad group that some of those other things kind of go in there, and then people can subscribe or not for those types of conversations. So, you know, another objection that we often see, if you want to go to the next slide, is I've already got so many tools. How in the world, or what in the world, do I tell my people what to use and when to use it and how to use it? And they've just got so many other tools. Steve's going to go into a little bit of detail, but what I would challenge you is to think about it in a different way. So if you think about the way that you receive your news, some of you might still read a newspaper. Others of you might get your news on Twitter, like me. If it doesn't show up on my Twitter feed, I have no idea what's going on. And kind of everybody in between. You've got CNN.com, you've got all these different things. You've got your great aunt on the phone who's yapping about something that's like the original social network. And you've got kind of all these different mediums and methods. But nobody's probably told you which one to use when. As you've kind of experienced information gathering about the news sources that are important to you, you've kind of figured it out, or you've kind of picked your favorite, or you're kind of curating your own content and your own news stories by yourself without somebody kind of mandating that you must use BBC.com all for the rest of your life. So kind of, you know, think about it in that way. We're all adults kind of thinking about the ways that we're consuming information. It's very similar to the ways that when you have so many tools at people's fingertips of kind of understanding what tools they use and when.
So this is a snapshot of a bigger document that we use with some of our customers when we're implementing Yammer. We call it Which Tool When, and it's a document that we make customizable for our customers that helps them kind of in a matrix say, all right, which tool is best suited for a given situation? And just in this example, it's I need to find somebody with a certain expertise. So there's lots of other options that we have on the matrix. It's things like I need to upload a document. I want to find somebody to meet for lunch. And then the things across the top are the tools that you might have available within your company, within your collaboration toolbox. And so obviously you can swap those out to meet whatever your needs are. And then we use a kind of Consumer Reports, Harvey Ball approach to say, you know, a certain tool might be best fit for a given situation. So that's not to say that, you know, if you're trying to find an expert, doesn't mean that you couldn't do it via instant messaging. Doesn't mean that you couldn't pop your head over the cube and ask somebody. But, you know, a tool like Yammer perhaps might get you further along, might get you to the place that you need much more quickly than those other tools. So, you know, in this example, this is just stating that, you know, by posting on Yammer, you can search through profiles, search through expertise profile, or if somebody has a certain expertise populated in their profile, you might be able to find it that way. You might be able to find an expert through just discussions that people are having. And then you can see some of the other tools that are available. Email, you can also ask a question on email. I could email the person on my team or in my department, but it might be less efficient because the way that I'm able to cast my net via email is going to be a lot smaller, for example. Any questions about this?
You're all too shy. I'm sure there's questions. No? Yeah, we've got two. Speak loud or forever hold your peace.
We'll repeat your question, but go ahead. So the question was, how do we reconcile between SharePoint communities and Yammer groups, and how is all that going to work together? Is that essentially the question? Okay. So yeah, these are some of the things that we are even wrestling with at Microsoft as the integration points come together. We're trying to figure out what is going to be the most seamless experience for our users to interact. So we are working on ways to bring things like team sites together and be able to the vision is to bring the team sites, Yammer groups together, show group feeds all in one place. I mean, we're going to be releasing the Yammer app for SharePoint 2013 here in the summertime, which will allow you to embed group feeds, you know, within your team sites. So there are things that we're doing already to start to integrate that and make the workflow from a user standpoint a lot more seamless. But these are, you know, when we work with this document, it was difficult to create just because we couldn't, you know, there was no way that we were going to create a document that was going to accomplish, you know, every flavor of SharePoint somebody have, every version of SharePoint, every possible customization somebody might have of SharePoint. So this is one of those things where we work very closely with you to say, all right, what's your environment look like? How do your users use SharePoint? How do your users use instant messaging and email? And we craft this accordingly. There was a question back here also.
Yeah. Okay. And we're also going to do, if time allows, we might also kind of show you a demo of what this actually looks like. So we should have plenty of time. So yeah, other question. So the discussions in SharePoint 2013 are, I would say they're good, but they're not as rich as a discussion that could be in a Yammer group. So we do have the ability to kind of have a web part within those team sites as of today. Now the 2013 thing is going to get a little muddy, but the only, and Christoph or Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, is Yammer is only in the cloud. So if you have something that is on-prem and needs to be on-prem, that's when you would use your SharePoint 2013 on-prem solutions. Was that a correct solution, or did I just totally butcher that?
I'll get to your question in just one second. But just, the other thing to think about is that, you know, Yammer is kind of Microsoft's big bet on social. And so every, you know, Yammer being a cloud offering, we're going to be able to iterate on the product, on the features much more quickly than we are going to be on SharePoint on-prem, for example. So the things that we innovate on, the things that we, you know, roll out much more quickly are going to happen in SharePoint Online, Office 365, and Yammer before they happen on-prem.
And Christoph has something.
I'll add one more thing to your comment. Looks like the mic is not working. On what is the elevator pitch? And again, don't just think social tied to SharePoint. Yesterday we talked about socializing line of business apps, socializing your ERP. Help desk, your sales automation. So don't just think social, like getting SharePoint to be social. And that's what we talked about, and that's our vision with Yammer, is to weave that into processes on a business app.
Regardless of where your user sits, whether it's in their help desk ticketing system, whether it's in their CRM system, their ERP, there's a way to have that conversation piece in that business application.
Yeah,
thanks.
So yesterday one of the themes was kind of Yammer in, Yammer out. And a lot of times we'll also talk about Yammer being the what we call the social Switzerland across your line of business application. So whether that be CRM, it could be, you know, Dynamics, it could be Salesforce, you know, we can integrate with those things, bring that content into Yammer, and also expose Yammer into those business applications as well. Yes, sir.
If we found that out, I mean, it is so crazy for us to watch our customers make cupcakes and flash mobs and t-shirts. And I mean, you would not even believe the hysteria that comes with Yammer. And I don't know what it is. It's like this magic something. And one of the things I think is it's very low barrier to entry. I can invite all my friends. It has that cool factor, like when Facebook kind of first started, that exclusivity piece of it as well. It's also familiar if they are a Facebook or a Twitter user, LinkedIn user. It's very familiar. And yeah, I mean, we've just seen some really fantastic adoption pieces where we would never even know that they would have created that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they may actually have the information, so I can find out who is an expert in this business side of things. How does that get in? I understand how they get excited about
Exactly. So the question was, is how does the information from like a profile perspective and kind of expertise, so the user has the ability to fill that out as they're signing up. They can also edit it at any time. There's also some ways to do profile syncing. Within your other systems, like an Active Directory or a SharePoint, for example. Aren't you working on that currently with one of your customers? So there is ways to do that as well. I even tell my users, you know, if you got a LinkedIn profile, just start with that so you're not starting from scratch. A lot of times users, and I really challenge users to not just put what their expertise is in right now, but you know their past expertise, and really kind of fill it out, because that does become searchable as well. It's almost like their personal brand that they can have within the organization. Yeah.
And you're right. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, lots.
But for whatever reason,
our users use our instant messaging on social side of things.
Yeah.
It's 99% social, actually.
Yeah.
And it works okay. It's good for that. But they put their business on the SharePoint, but they tend to be really shy. I'm wondering what would make them vary.
Yeah.
So I'll just synthesize a little bit for the recording. Some of the concern is just how will people adopt Yammer when it doesn't seem like there's been adoption on the existing tools like SharePoint. It doesn't happen overnight, but I think what's different about Yammer and even SharePoint, and we talked about this last night at dinner with some Microsoft colleagues, is the Microsoft methodology with SharePoint has been a bit different than with Yammer. So when Yammer was acquired by Microsoft back in July or August timeframe, and the way that we've done it at Yammer, and so both Allison and I come from the Yammer side into the acquisition, the way that we did it was when a company purchased Yammer, it wasn't just, all right, here are the licenses, here are the seats, good luck with it. But myself, as a customer success manager and my team, we actively engage with the business partners within those organizations to say, all right, what are the use cases? What's your vision for using Yammer? You want to collaborate? You want to connect people on a geographic basis? What are all those things? And then what are some discrete use cases that you want to try to accomplish? So maybe it's a restaurant that wants to facilitate better communication between the restaurant and the brand, and to be able to build better brand awareness. So what are some of the, so then we work with them to build, all right, here's what the environment needs to look like in Yammer. Here's the people that, from a success, or a use case success standpoint on the business side, that need to own it and champion it in order for this use case to be a success. So it's not just put it in and let's let it run, but we talked about kind of building that sponsorship and building the network of champions, building people that are going to be passionate about making this successful. It's all those things, and building the community. Community management is actually not something that we have in this deck, but it's something that's very important. And the networks that we have seen become very successful, community management is a big part of that. So having somebody that kind of monitors, oversees the network, and seeds the network with conversations, those kinds of things are mm-hmm. things that get people into the system.
And I would just, I think some cultures and some organizations are kind of more at the ready to do this, kind of based on maybe core values, what people are rated on for performance. One of the training sessions that we provide for community management is to kind of look at your organization's culture and where do you fit on certain scales of like openness to closed and things like that. Because, if you do have a culture that's very tight-knit or, closed-lipped. And I was working with somebody, and they said they are so even afraid just to email other people because they're just so nervous. It's going to be really hard for that to kind of conspire and have that open dialogue. But at the end of the day, that's not a tool issue. That's a bigger issue. And Yammer is just going to help facilitate some of those conversations that can happen. And what I would say is start small, try it, find a couple groups that are kind of at the ready, and then kind of who can go and spearhead the conversations. We've just had this at Microsoft. We have the SharePoint social team has now renamed themselves as Yammer North. So Jeremy's here right here. And basically, they kind of went all in. They said, we're going to use Yammer for a week and see how it changes our kind of what does it change within our organization? They did no email for a week. And for a group at Microsoft to do no email for a week, I mean, this is like a really big deal. And the team has had fantastic results. And it's kind of like they had to drink their own Kool-Aid before they could build the things that integrate the SharePoint social pieces and the Yammer pieces. They had to live, know, and breathe it before they could kind of go and share their story. And their story is out on the Wall Street Journal and things like that too. So if you want to hear more about their story and kind of how they're building things and the different processes that they've kind of adapted, it's out there. Yeah. And you can always come to the booth. The superstars are at our Yammer booth today. Yeah, question.
You mentioned search a few times. Mm-hmm. We are for a very large search chat. What is that, and if there is an integration today in both ways, what does that do to the barrier, your adoption?
Yeah.
So the question is about search and how do we get around search being in multiple places. And I will say that search is something that is still kind of on the roadmap as something that we want to address. It all goes back to identity again. So we need to figure out what identity looks like across Yammer and Office 365 and SharePoint. I think that once we get through that hurdle, then we can start to look at how search goes across those different platforms. But today, yes, it is going to be a different experience in those places.
But we do have, if you do have a Yammer web part within your SharePoint instance and you search SharePoint, it will not only search the content and things from SharePoint, it will also bring up the Yammer conversation. So that exists today. And then if you kind of go the other way around, if you're in Yammer and there's like a link to SharePoint, it will kind of bring up those links. I think that's called like Open Graph. That's almost getting a bit too technical for me. It will bring up those as well. So it kind of goes both ways, not perfect yet. We're getting there. I'm definitely getting there. So fantastic questions. Let's keep moving so we have some time. And then keep your questions coming because those are great. Thanks.
So data retention. This often comes up within IT. How do we handle the data that people are creating and the content that people are creating within Yammer? And generally the stance that we take on this is whatever your data retention schedules are, whatever your data retention policies are within your organizations today, then you can follow those. We don't really have anything built into Yammer to accommodate for it. What we do offer is the REST APIs, the ability to connect to the Yammer APIs to extract, delete data if you need to, but you can use the APIs to accomplish whatever your data retention policies might be. We do have some organizations that use the API to extract the data from Yammer and then store it into whatever data retention system you're using on your side. The other thing a lot of organizations that we work with do with regards to kind of thinking about the content in Yammer is that they think of it like instant messaging. They're not records. They're not things that need to be, that they classify it as things that don't necessarily need to be retained. And that's, so again, not to be contentious, but lawyers, just to repeat. Yeah,
no, I
understand. Yes, exactly. And that, from organizations, and that's where we always want to, include legal into the discussions about this, and they always want to be included earlier than later. So, even before making a decision about bringing Yammer into the organization, we generally encourage legal's input on that.
Cool, great. All right. So, kind of as from this change management perspective, I was actually on the phone yesterday with somebody who's very highly involved in a lot of change management. When you think about kind of software implementations, you're thinking about ERP implementations, kind of this all hands on deck type of thing. That is not the level of change management that's really needed from a Yammer perspective. It's a lot lighter. Very similar concepts happen within a change management perspective within Yammer, but I would say it's not as heavy or kind of methodology. We do have kind of a method and a process behind a lot of this, as well as templates and things that you can use so you don't have to start from scratch. But I would just, kind of think about this as a lot more lighter weight. Nobody has to have a PhD in change management to kind of think about these things. And these actually end up being quite common sense after we kind of go through it. So communicate the vision. I mean, this is change management 101, but this is also kind of the social 101. And when I say this is sometimes, and I don't know if anybody relates because I know some of my customers are, sometimes their execs have this shiny object syndrome where your execs are like, oh, this is really cool for this month, and oh, this is really cool for this month, and oh, and they just, oh, it's just all new, and you know, they just can't even concentrate on one thing. So this is actually really distracting for your users. So I think if you kind of have this bigger picture, and not necessarily say to have a vision specifically for Yammer, but kind of have that vision tie in with the overall organization vision and goals, and kind of Yammer is just that tool that facilitates that vision. Because again, it's all about the people. Leaders need to be active and involved, and this is something that my team works very closely with executive leaders. Actually, in about 2 hours, I've got a webinar with top executives from a bank that many of you probably all or bank at, and you know, it's not good enough for your leaders and for your executive sponsors to bless Yammer. They actually need to be active, and I say active, I mean post every once in a while. I mean, like something. The power of a like is huge. I remember the first time David Sachs, our CEO, liked one of my posts. I called my grandpa, I called my mom, I called everybody I knew, I posted on Facebook. I could not believe that he liked my post. And this is something from a culture perspective that I felt connected to the organization, and he was probably sitting in the back of a taxi on his way to the airport or sitting in an airport from his mobile device, being able to kind of like it. So really understand, how can you enable those leaders to be active on Yammer? And this is really scary for some leaders because they're so used to comms teams writing every communication for them that they're like, what do you mean I'm not gonna have my admin print my emails out and handwrite them back? That still happens, you guys, that still happens. I don't know if any of your CEOs don't have a computer, but I've seen that happen. Solve a business challenge, like we were talking about earlier. Pick one or two things that already is in your business cadence, already is happening, and see how you can weave that social element to it. Whether if it's a summit, an all hands, we're working with a restaurant company, they have menu changes, so how do they communicate those menu changes to their stores? Something that is already happening within your business, and see how you can weave social into that. So when we're thinking about kind of this SharePoint and then Office 365, so that's a pretty big change. See how Yammer can help facilitate that change.
And then tie two things together. So getting leaders involved in a compelling event, you know, tie those things together. A lot of times we'll have companies that have, you know, town hall meetings every quarter or every 6 months. And then we'll have what we call Yam Jams, where post town hall, people get on Yammer, and it's an opportunity for those leaders to connect back to their participants, and people can ask questions, and the leaders get right onto Yammer and ask questions right there. And a lot of times, what we'll see, and one organization that I work with, they've had a dozen Yam Jams at this point with their executives, and what's happened is it's become a very competitive thing. The executives, they're going back to each other and kind of throwing down the gauntlet. Said, "There, beat that." See if you can drive more activity than I did. Those kinds of things. So, Combine two things together.
And then celebrate success and share it. So this is something that we're doing internally at Microsoft. Somebody's on a roadshow taking video of people in Amsterdam using Yammer in creative ways in Australia. And just so that way, Microsoft knows how Microsoft is using Yammer. So this is a very easy thing to do. We have customers who tag things as Yam win or value or success, so then they can lift those conversations up out of Yammer to kind of share those different stories. So we've got about 20-ish minutes left. We're going to end with a video, and then we're going to go into a demo. And if you guys have any questions, we will take that too. So this is kind of one of my favorite videos. I watched this video, and I don't know if anybody has seen this video before, but we actually had this happen to us one of the first couple of months that Yammer had been acquired by Microsoft. We had a reply all madness. Somebody BCC'd a distribution list of, 20,000 people. So it was insane. But the greatest part about it was Microsoft was talking about it on Yammer, like, look at those silly people saying, take me off this list, take me off this reply all. So it was a bit of a reply all madness. And this probably happens within your organizations today, hopefully not often. But this is something that, we'd love to share, and then we'll go into a demo.
Yeah, you guys can probably all relate to this at some level. We'll let it speak for itself.
Business practices that refuse to die, number 44. email trees. Let's keep this simple. You need to make a decision, but need the input from four team members. So you draft an email and send it to the team. Person number one replies to all, so does person number two. But three and four only reply back to you. In addition, unbeknownst to you, person number four emails person number five, who thinks they should have a say in the decision as well. Person number five replies to everyone. You gather all the feedback and send a synopsis back out to everyone. You also receive emails from persons number one and two asking why number five was included in on the discussion. You reply back to them that, although not ideal, it'll be okay. Person number five also forwarded the email to person number six, who at this time also replied to all, but didn't get the last email. So, to include her, you forward her the last email and CC everyone else just to let them know that person number six was in on the discussion now too. You now email everyone with the final decision and want their buy-in. Person number six asks for one small change. You agree, make the change, and email everyone again for an agreement. Everyone emails you that they agree. By the end of this madness, 61 emails have been sent to make one decision. That certainly is not collaboration at its finest. How can we avoid this in the future? Instead of sending an email, you ask your question in a collaborative environment. Everyone responds and reads each other's responses and suggests that person number five and six be invited, which you do. They too read the thread, add their two bits, and everyone is on the same page. You make the final decision, person number six adds a change, you revise, and everyone buys off. Done. Now think about how much time your team saved by using the collaborative space. Multiply that by the number of in-depth email conversations you have in a day, and you can see the savings. Plus, the conversation is in one place, you can easily find it again if you need to refer to it later, and it saved your team a ton of email frustration, which always makes your team happier. Now raise your hand if you think your team could have spent those hours doing something more valuable. Exactly. So, what are you going to do about it?
So obviously that was not Yammer up there, but I think kind of it hopefully drives the point of this concept of working out loud, kind of opening up your inbox for others to see and have those conversations kind of out in the open, whether that's in a Yammer group that's public or private, but kind of more out in the open.
And Allison alluded to the no email week that the Yammer engineering team in Redmond had done, and we've had other customers do that too, and one customer I worked with, what she did with her team was she said, all right, for a week, we're going to say, if you're going to send an email to the team, don't do it. Post it on Yammer instead. And so they gave themselves a whole week to do that, and then a month later, we checked back in with them, and now they're much more ingrained in Yammer. Yammer is kind of the first thing that they open up when they start their workday versus email, because now they've transitioned all of their efforts over to Yammer. So we're not here to say email is bad by any means. I mean, email has its deficiencies, and there are places where an enterprise social environment can help alleviate some of those deficiencies. But email still has its place. You still need it for calendaring and things like that.
All right. So we still have about 20 minutes left. Let's go ahead. You want to flip the demo?
Yeah, let's switch over. Does anybody have any questions before we dive into that? This is going to be a pretty basic kind of a 101 kind of thing. So if you're familiar with Yammer, you've seen it, feel free to stay. Also, come by the booth. We can do some more in-depth things. One thing I'll show right off the bat here is I'll show the integration, what it looks like. Had to have a Yammer feed embedded right within SharePoint. So if you're familiar with SharePoint 2013, you're probably familiar with the news feed. If you were in Christoph's session yesterday, you heard that we'll be flipping the switch if you have a Yammer network, a paid Yammer network in O365. You'll have the ability to flip this news feed to display Yammer, and that'll bring up your Yammer feed. But this is what it can look like when it's embedded within a team site, for example. So let's say you have a marketing team. marketing team site, and then you have a corresponding marketing group. So I'm just going to switch back and forth here just to show you what it looks like within Yammer. So this is the corresponding marketing group within Yammer. You see the discussions, the threaded discussions that are happening here, also mirrored here within the web part. So I can just say, looking forward to a successful Xbox One launch. Everybody wants their Xbox One, right? So I can update that, post it to the feed, and almost immediately it posts it to the group feed in Yammer. So I can, you know, I can conversely respond back here. It's going to respond as Garth because I'm logged in as Garth in both places here, but say yes. But this just shows you how the benefit. Oh, I'm not logged in here. But the benefit of being able to experience Yammer in both environments. Whether I'm in SharePoint or whether I'm in Yammer, if I want to experience SharePoint within my workflow, then I can have it built in there. Just going over some of the more basic things. This is your, when you first log into Yammer, the middle part is your feed, and you have different ways to toggle it. So I can see all, which is kind of the fire hose. I'll see all public messages that are being posted in the network. Following is going to be characterized by the people that I follow or groups that I'm a member of. So this is a way for me to filter what I'm seeing. So this is one of the key differences between Yammer and email. In email, I can't really control what kind of content or who's emailing me. Versus Yammer, I can choose what's important to me. I can choose the people that I'm interested in following, or I can choose the groups that are pertinent to me, whether that be project teams or department groups, those kinds of things. Then there's top, and this is an algorithm that is generated based off of the people that you follow, the groups that you follow, the conversations that you're participating in, perhaps files that you're following within the network, and it's an algorithm that's generating conversations that are perhaps most relevant to you, and it's not time-based, so it's more relevancy-based. So you might not necessarily see the most recent message at the top of your top conversations list. Over on the left-hand side, so this is the navigation for my groups, and this automatically updates based off of the groups that I'm most active in. So if I'm most active in my project team group, so if I'm Garth and I'm in marketing, and marketing team is where I spend most of my time, then that marketing group is going to bubble up to the top, and then it's going to organize those groups. It's going to prioritize those groups down the left-hand side. If I want to create a group, I just create the plus sign to create it, and I can create one. I can maybe say SharePoint user group.
This is one of a really low barrier to entry that I think kind of nerves IT professionals a little bit, is anybody can create a group about anything. And so, where sometimes you need to involve IT if you need to do a new SharePoint site or something like this. So sometimes that can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but IT and, you guys can't think of every group that could possibly be needed. Somebody can create a group for three people, two people, for a one-time event. They're probably not going to create a SharePoint site for that. They're probably not going to do a distribution list for that. Creating a Yammer group is 30 seconds or less, yeah. And they can kind of have that and start that conversation. I think if it's a bigger group or something more involved, it's definitely a great conversation to have, but these quick one-off things that people just need done that maybe they don't need to build a huge team site for a project that's going up in 3, 4, or 5 weeks.
A lot of times when networks are just starting out, we'll provide guidance on creating, kind of pre-populating the network with groups, but not creating
every single group under the sun.
Not overbearing the structure to where people don't feel like they can create as they need to.
Yeah, did you have a question?
Do you have the ability to restrict the external network?
Yes, from an admin perspective, yes.
And if I am a user that got invited to another external group, do I have API access then to that group as a
form of client?
So just to repeat the question.
He was asking if you have API or access to see what external network.
My person is involved in an external network.
Yeah.
I'm unaware of, but can I use the API to, for compliancy, if he's posting documents, I need to know what documents go in an external network, but I have access to the API as my administrator. The administrator of mine is an external. Someone else created that in an external network.
So the very first question you asked was, can we restrict the ability to create, or can admins restrict the capability of creating external networks? Was that the very first question? So yes, there is that capability, so you can restrict that to only administrators being able to create external networks. The second question is, if an employee of yours joins an external network that was created by somebody else, that was created by somebody else and is posting documents to it. So one thing you can do in that case, first of all, to just so administrators can have awareness, there's a toggle or there's a switch to say admins must approve membership into other external networks. So if Allison is an employee of yours and you're the admin of the network, she's got an invitation to join another external network, you would get a notification and say, yes, I approve Allison to join that network. Now, once you give permission to her to join that network. What she does in there is, I mean, you're not going to have visibility to that
unless you're a member
and then you're administrator of that external network.
But I think that's something that Microsoft is definitely looking into right now. I think from their own internal perspective as well.
So when I create this group, I just give it a name and a description, and then I can make it public or private. And generally the guidance that we're giving most people is thinking about creating publics as being, or using Yammer as open by default. So you're not gaining a whole lot if you lock your groups down. You're kind of creating the same silo that you have had previously within email or other organization structures. So think about creating your groups to be public and being more open and transparent by default. I do understand there are reasons why you want to have it private, so that's why the setting is there.
And you can always flip them.
Yeah.
So if you start out private and you want to flip it to public, you can do that, and vice versa. So you can do that.
So Yammer is no fun all alone, so when I create a group, it asks me to invite some other people. I'm going to just skip this step for right now. But that's how easy it is to spin up a group. And again, Yammer is built on a model of allowing people to self-organize. So that's one of the reasons why we don't really block the ability to create groups, but we want people to be able to self-organize in a way that makes sense for the way they work. The other thing, as we help customers think about what their group structure should be, is thinking about what the group nomenclature should be. So what's going to make sense for how people are going to find groups. A lot of times we'll have companies create special interest groups, like a running group or a photography group. So they'll start off their group by having interest-photography or interest-running. An interesting outcome from that is what you're kind of able to do is you're able to, at some point later on, you'll be able to derive some metrics around how many messages are being posted to those interest groups versus all the other groups. And so if for some reason it's interesting to your organization to know, all right, how many social or off-topic conversations are happening versus business conversations, if people are posting to those groups, you kind of have some visibility into that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's groups. If I go back to the home, I guess showing something really basic, I showed posting a message earlier on. This is what we call the publisher at the top, and this is where people have the ability to type a message. I can post a poll if I want to. So what was your favorite tech ed session? And then I just post.
And the polls are anonymous, so you can just kind of gather some guidance. Kind of taking a step back and looking at the groups, I think one of some of our largest groups within our certain networks are user groups around certain softwares like Excel or PowerPoint, where maybe you may or may not have formal training for some of those products. Maybe you do, but it's a good way for people to kind of self-help each other. I know one of my customers has a huge Excel group, and there's not one IT person in there, and for IT, I don't know if it's like this at your organization, but I know the organization I came from, they had a lot of help desk tickets of saying, help me create a pivot table. Well, that's not really a help desk issue. That's a training issue, right? And they had really, you know, no way, okay, we're just going to close that ticket and not deal with that. So this, they're kind of pointing people to that community. And, you know, somebody in California is helping somebody in the West Coast, you know, create a pivot table or figure out the best formula for their budget and, you know, cost of goods sold and things like that. And kind of IT has been able to step out of that. So, you know, I know some organizations, if they're SAP users, they've got certain SAP user groups, like order to cash and the different things as well. So then that those users kind of help each other along that path. So that's a really easy way to...
SharePoint user groups.
SharePoint user groups.
Those come up a lot. This example here is just of a team that is, you know, that could be using a group within Yammer to manage their SharePoint upgrade. So you can think about that as well. So we'll stop there, the demo. Feel free to stop by the booth if you have any more specific questions. We've got some additional resources, like Allison mentioned earlier on. She can talk about some of the next steps that you can take.
So, want to learn more, come to the Yammer booth. We're in the office. We're in the big office, in the big orange one. We're under socialize. We'd love to do a deeper dive demo for you. Subscribe to the Yammer blog. There's great thought leadership pieces by our customers, what they're doing, and some really, you know, good step-by-step stuff. We have Yammer certifications. We have some for IT pros. We're going to be releasing a developer certification this summer. So if you're interested in doing crazy things with the API or Open Graph or the embed, sign up for that. That's going to be really exciting. But we also have certifications like for your business, so a community manager, power user, as well as an admin. Success.yammer.com, that's where you're going to find all the goods, templates, resources, whatever. Take it, use it. That's our thing to just give to you. We don't want you to recreate the wheel for some of this stuff. We've already done a lot of the work. Just take it and use it. And then log into Yammer. So if you don't have a Yammer network, get started. Join the conversation. So here is a list of resources. This list is growing by the day. So while this will be available in the PowerPoint, just know that this is a hot topic right now. Lots of analysts, lots of conversations are being started. So this is going to be a growing list. I don't know. Oh, so yeah. So here are the other related tech ed sessions. And yeah. So if anybody has any other questions, feel free to come up and ask us. But thanks for staying along. And yeah, have a great afternoon.
Thanks, everyone.
Don't forget to fill out your eval. I guess I have to say that, right? Don't forget to fill out your eval. Last slide. Oops, sorry. Scan to fill out your eval.